feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
I'm finally halfway between two apartments. I have clothes in one apartment and my bed in the other apartment. So I have to keep like bringing the next day's change of clothes over so I don't have to like run over and get changed in the morning.
You're like a real estate mogul of South Philadelphia. You just run from like property to property. Be like, oh, I have to check on this. Oh, I have to check on that. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You're paying like $300 more. It's not even that much.
Yeah, so the big difference is I'm still currently paying rent to two people. I'm the opposite of a mogul. I'm just really, really owing people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I'm Danny, you're George. This is Feel Feelings. We did it. We introduced the show.
We're so good at this.
And we have an amazing guest today. I'm very excited about this. We have Malachi Ayers.
Hey, amazing? Thank you.
Amazing.
I legitimately amazing. Think that. Like I think about you... And how quickly you went from like funny to like can't miss funny. Happened so quickly. And yeah, you should be very excited about how good you got really fast.
Sadness helped me.
hey, Mal, can I ask that? How do you be good? How teach me?
It can't just be sadness because I got plenty of that.
I got so much sadness.
I don't know. I think my jokes have always been weird style that I have, but I feel like it's how comfortable I am on stage that makes other people lean into my jokes more.
We've talked about that a little on the show before where it's like 85% how you control yourself on stage and like 15% like what the jokes could be.
Yeah, it's a lot. I've always talked about comedy in the same way I talk. It's like a halfway point between rap and relationships.
Sure.
Because like Common said, feel the passion of this b-boy rationale. Half of it is what you say and half is style. Now, what you say and how you say it affects how good a joke is. Also, in relationships, when you're going through that phase where you don't know how to talk to women and you're learning to talk to women, you're saying the same things over and over again, just tweaking them a little bit and getting different responses from different women. And that's kind of how comedy is. Like you're saying the same shit on stage, but you're saying it like it's something new and tweaking it just a little bit. And
all right, let me ask you this then. Which Andre 3000 from the Hey Ya video is the worst at talking at women? I just...
Oh, man.
I think the best is the guitar player. Because he's like so laid back, he's just happy to be there. He's appreciating the moment.
I need to pull up a picture of the band because I can only picture him on the piano, and I can't.
I was gonna say keyboard guy because he says I just want to make you come.
Yeah, exactly.
But he says it in a way where I'm like, I'm not convinced. I don't think he's ready to throw down to give this woman pleasure. We do have children listen to this show. Maybe this is.
All right, I'm looking at a picture. I don't think any of them struggle. Not even like the jockey backup singers. Like,
yeah, shirt off. Andre 3000 definitely has no problem getting girls.
Oh yeah. What, isn't he wearing a crown too?
Yeah. The big flashy bell bottom green with no shirt and a crown. I don't. Even though he's a drummer, I don't think he's struggling at all.
You know who is the ringer and is not even in that video, who does not have to struggle at all for that, is wooden pan flute walking around Philadelphia and Andre 3000.
Oh my god. Yeah,
that
now,
guy,
now we're going level. That's that the rocks. Real life one, like, are you kidding?
That's like, real Andre 3000 wandering the streets of Philadelphia.
This Hey Ya band, let's see, is 1, 2, 3, 8 of the coolest people I've ever seen. And none of them are the actual real person who is cool.
Right. Oh, it's so cool. I went to go see a hardcore show. It was like a punk rock hardcore show at this place called the Asbury Lanes in Asbury Park. It's like a, it was like a dingy, shitty club, and now it is like a very corporate owned place. And one of the bands there, I couldn't explain it, but it was like how we have to kind of guess which Andre 3000 in the Heya video. Fuck. I was like, I couldn't understand it, how they were so sexual but so nerdy. Like Naruto running got them laid at one point. I don't know how, but it did. They were like the nerdiest band. But I was like, these guys fuck.
It's all about comfortability with yourself.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Way to turn this conversation right back around. I appreciate that. We haven't been long.
I feel like I'm throwing Naruto out there. You're calling him into question specifically based right. on like your whole
as an anime fan.
Exactly.
And as a dude who has been out here in these streets, you gotta learn. You gotta learn quick.
Yeah, that's how I feel like every time I tell people that like I'm super excited about mascots, and I think they're like the most fun thing about any event where there's a mascot. That's the best thing about it. That's a weird thing to say to people because it's not sexual. If it were sexual, I could find people who were into it and it would be fine.
There's a whole but, community.
Like, it's just a thing.
Oh, and he's gone.
Oh no.
Look at his wonky little eye. They just shut off his internet for this apartment. He's got to go across the street.
He should have been paying two internets.
Yeah. He only paid two rents. There he didn't pay two internets. Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, it's funny because on the computer that's recording it, I could see that I was frozen. But on the one that's actually recording me talking, I was frozen. So I could see you guys talking, and I was like, I wish I were in that conversation. Where did I get cut off?
Mascots. You're talking about how mascots is a tough thing to be like, this is what I am interested in.
Yeah, that's not like, you can't like run out and be like, I'm into mascots on a first date. That's not like, it's not an option unless you have a way to tell the story. So over time, you figure out how to tell the story.
Third date morning conversation.
Yeah.
I'm really into mascots.
Hey, I see you're on your way out. I'd be totally fine if you never come back again. I get it. Yeah. I think mascots are the most fun.
You got to ease it in after they already like you. You can't
exactly.
Just, yeah.
You weigh out how many, like, you know, how the night before was, be like, I think I did a good enough job to admit that me and Jazz Bear are on a name basis.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I crushed it enough to let somebody know that Stuff, the Orlando Magic mascot, looks at every single Instagram story I post.
Oh, shit.
Hasn't missed one in ages. It's the only reason I check who looks at it now to see if Stuff is still there.
That's dope, actually.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I want to get Stuff on here, even though I know that the account's not run by the actual person in the mascot and the mascots don't talk. I want to get Stuff on here. It'd be the best bit.
Oh, yeah. You can do that like on a day. Like, honestly, if we can't pull a guest, we could just say Stuff, the mascot from the Orlando Dragon, is on. You just talk to yourself for an hour. And right. That's the full episode.
I legit had a conversation with the person who runs the Benny the Bull account about doing exactly that.
Wow.
Like, could I? And they were like, well, not really. And I was like, would you come on then? And they're like, the mascot doesn't speak. I'm like, you don't understand what I'm asking.
Yeah. I'm trying to do a bit. This is like when you drop all that popcorn on people in an audio form. That's what I'm trying to do.
And like, it would be such a good bit too, because Benny the Bull had a one episode podcast where it was literally just Benny the Bull sitting there for an hour doing nothing because he doesn't talk.
Oh, good, my God.
Good for Benny.
And then he wouldn't jump in on the bit here. Man, whatever.
I'm going to raise my children not to know who Michael Jordan is, but know who Benny the Bull is. And so that is their star player for the Chicago Bulls.
See, Michael Jordan retired. That Bull is still there.
That Bull is always there. That Bull is deep in our hearts. Let's spin this.
Let's spin the wheel.
Let's spin this wheel.
got Attraction.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
See, yeah.
Hold on, wait. Hold on.
I feel like I should play some like 80s kind of late night infomercial background music.
Something funky at least.
Uh-oh, George is going after dark. He dimmed the lights. Oh, yeah.
Let me just, it might be too dark. Hold on. There we go. I'm just going to light this candle, this scented candle that I used to convince myself I had COVID last week. Look at this scented candle. Look at this mood I'm setting.
That's the quality of that candle.
That is really what happened. Hold on. It's too dark. I was stuck at home waiting for COVID results because I went to a place that does a PCR test, but they mail it out to a lab in Chicago. So I don't think I've even gotten my results back, and it's been a week.
I blame Benny the Bull.
I blame Benny the Bull as well. And I would light this candle because I usually light it when I'm sitting at the computer or something, but I don't sit at this computer longer than this show. Or if I'm doing something online, I left that lit for 8 hours and then woke up with like a tingle in my throat and just convinced myself I had COVID.
Like that. I see.
And
what
I was like,
mean.
Oh no, this is just because I sat over an open flame.
Yeah. I mean, my brother just shared the picture today of early this year. Statistics showed that the rise in COVID towards the beginning of 2021 was directly in line with people calling Yankee Candle and telling them their candles don't smell like anything.
Ha! Oh, shit.
It literally tracked the whole graph. When it was low, it was low. When it was high, it spiked like super high. It was great.
I wish I worked at Yankee Candle so I could, because all I do now at my new job is tell people like there's a supply chain issue. You're not getting your thing. There's a supply chain issue. You can't get your thing for like 60 days. There's a supply chain issue. It'll be like 90 days. That's all I do all day on the phone. I want to work at Yankee Candle and be like, you can't smell it because it's COVID. Goodbye. You can't smell it because it's COVID. Goodbye.
You know what would be hilarious? If Yankee will put out like random unscented candles in their batches. And then when people are like, yo, I can't smell this candle. Like, no.
Oh my God. A COVID trick candle?
Yes. Oh my God. That's got to be like, I think we still have to wait a couple years for it, but like that's a prank. Yeah. That's a peanut brittle prank in the future.
That's a pretty attractive prank. What makes you feel attractive?
That's right. We have a topic.
Ooh, that'd be an episode of fucking Kirby Enthusiasm. He doesn't want to go anywhere, so he gets somebody a candle, and then that's unscented. I'm like, oh, you have fucking COVID.
You can't smell that. This is like mahogany. This is intense mahogany teak wood. You can't smell that?
This smells like 9 Hollisters. Are you kidding? I was just watching the Three Stooges movie the other day, and Larry David plays a nun. Anyway, Attraction.
Oh, man.
Malachi, what makes you feel attraction?
What makes me feel attraction? It's a double-edged sword. It's like, I like getting to know people, and I like letting them be comfortable around me. And it works when the person I'm talking to is great, because it makes the connection stronger. But also, I can get connected to someone who isn't a great person, and I'm so mesmerized by the journey of getting to know them that I don't realize how bad a person they are.
There is something hypnotizing about the process that you just kind of get swept up in it. That like, even when the person's terrible, it's still like amazing that you're experiencing.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to bring this back to anime because I'm a nerd. Like watching a lot of anime, it's like, sometimes you don't like, there's a character just being a jerk in a corner. You're like, why is he such a jerk? Then they have an episode that gives him like character development and backstory. Like, I understand why you're a jerk. And now I'm on your side. That's kind of how it is.
Are you talking about Prince Zuko? I know that's not a real anime, but like that's the exact thing where you're like, yo, fuck this kid. I'm glad he got burnt in the face. And then like towards like the end of that third season, I'm like, oh no, right. This kid's all right. He's all right.
Yeah. The whole arc of the fire side was incredible on that show. Because
it was the best season. It was the best season, hands down.
Oh, but I fucking hate all his friends though. Is that just me? Like, I the what, his sister.
In the same way you're meant to hate him, you're meant to hate them. But then by the end of it, everybody's good by the end. Like,
I don't know. I do this thing, and maybe this is why, I don't know, is I'll watch a show up until the last episode, and then I won't watch the last episode because it lives permanently in my mind. Like, I've enjoyed, kind of like what you're talking about, like, I enjoyed the work up to it, that once it's over and I know the full story of it, what am I supposed to do with it? Like, I can't be a full fan anymore because it's all that's left. Me. Yeah, I just shut up. I have never finished anything. That's why I stopped doing comedy.
I mean, I haven't finished the first season of Dexter. I have one episode.
What, the first season of Dexter?
Yeah, I have one episode left of the first season.
Murderer Dexter?
Oh, I've probably watched every Dexter's Lab. So okay. Murderer Dexter. Murder Dexter.
Okay, Murder okay. Dexter.
Yeah.
That's a cool show. Yeah, that's good.
You know what I want to kind of rewatch is Courage. I want to remember if it's as scary as I remember.
There are some amazing episodes.
I was just watching a YouTube video about it, and they were talking about how the reason why Courage is so scary is not because the monsters are creepy. It's because every villain had something mental, like depression or anxiety or something like that they were acting out through their character. So it was that you were connecting with that made it scarier than it actually was.
Interesting.
I think that's why I like the Jazz Beaver episode the most, because his whole motivation was just to build a dam, make jazz, and cause chaos. It was the best.
What is that, borderline personality disorder? Is that the one that's representative? It's like, I like jazz and fucking shit up.
Right.
Yeah, like the whole music or the whole episode is just like on beat, and then like every time he does something, it's like perfectly on beat and is like musical in some way, but he's just like making dead eye contact with Courage the whole time, like, fuck you, I'm doing this.
I like the fake Sweeney Todd barber who always like naughty.
Oh god, that one, Return the Slab, haunts my dreams just because it was like, for as a kid, the different animation of like normal to this weird sort of cutout animation thing freaked me out.
It was like so jarring seeing it different.
It was gross. But back to the Avatar thing. So I don't finish things. So the last episode that I saw up to was like when they go to vacation on the beach. And they're just like, we're going to my aunt's, like my mom's and dad's old vacation house on, let's call it Fire Island. I don't think it's Fire Island. That's very a different place. But like, yeah, everyone's such a fucking asshole. I don't like the entire episode of that show. I was just like, why are you hanging out with these losers? Go hang out with Aang. He's got hair now. It rules. Aang with hair rules. Also, shout out to a friend of the show and a Race Robot member, Luke Roberge of Get in the Garage, who used to jump on my back in high school yelling, Appa, yip, yip.
That's awesome.
I fucking hate him.
Yeah, I didn't watch that show until COVID. That's the only reason it's fresh in my mind, is because I just watched the whole show. Meg and I like raced through it and then stalled out somewhere in the middle of Korra.
Mm. Oh, you don't like Korra?
No, I loved it. We both did, but we just kind of forgot about it. So we're somewhere in the middle.
Don't finish anything.
Which season did you get to? Did you get to 2 or 3?
I think we stopped somewhere in 2. I don't think we made it to 3.
3 is the best season.
Really?
By far. It is the greatest season of Avatar, period.
So I'm going to shift this back to topic. What makes a show so like attracting to you in that kind of way? So what makes that more appealing as a season than other ones?
Because I liked Avatar, The Last Airbender, because I saw it as a kid. It was a great show. They did not have to do what they did for a kid's show.
That's true.
But they did, right. The third season of Korra is Korra reaping everything that Aang should have reaped.
Okay. And
in Korra, there is no, like, in Last Airbender, it was like, beat the evil dude and that's it. Korra is just the Avatar and she has to deal with problems, and there's no wrong or right solutions to those problems. And that's what attracts me to it, because it's like life. There's no, like, you could do, like, for real, you could do the worst shit ever. But there are choices in your life that you have to make that there is no wrong answer for. And she, as a 16 to 19-year-old, having to make adult decisions that affect the entire planet, and everyone going to hate her regardless of the decision that she chooses. It's like, all right, cool. You got a lot on your shoulders right now.
Yeah, I mean, I love the mystery of it when that show starts, and like, because like all of a sudden it goes from one person can do all of these things to like everybody can have it, and anybody who has it can have it taken away. You're like, oh shit, we just jumped.
Like, yeah.
Speaking of what you were talking about earlier, it's kind of how I feel about comedy, where it's like, no matter what I do, like, people will still have an opinion of it. That's how I feel about bombing, where it's like, no matter what I do at a certain point in the middle of a bomb, there's nothing I can do. So I just have to enjoy and just go with the bomb falling down.
Yeah, write it down. Exactly.
It's my favorite. When people ask, like, what's it like doing comedy? I won't say being a comedian, because I've been out of the game for too long. Now I do this. Look, hi, Dan. This is my Hello. Weekly call with Dan. This is more therapy than anything. But I like when they're like, what's it like to do comedy? I was like, I think the biggest advice I can give anyone that wants to do comedy is to just enjoy the bomb. Because if you get in head and you're like, oh man, I can't believe I embarrassed myself. I was like, yeah, you embarrass yourself in front of all your fucking friends. And they're about to too, because no one's saving room.
That is so insane when I think of, when you put it like that. Like that all just go out with in the back of our mind that we're gonna embarrass ourselves in front of our friends. Mm-hmm. Some of them aren't gonna look at us after we get off stage.
Yeah, they're gonna feel bad.
It kind of feels like sending a girl a dick pic and she not responding immediately.
Oh, my phone died. You just hope her phone died.
Right. No, her mom called me.
Yeah. You get on stage, you disrobe, and then you put your clothes on, which is just what Josh Matches does regularly on stage. Oh, and then man. You get off stage and you go, how was that? Was that okay? Did you guys like that? Right. So attractive. We're talking attractive. This show is mostly tangents. We should change the show to mostly tangents.
Yeah, I feel like we're very intentionally getting off track because it's a weird thing to talk about. But
three men talking about what makes them attractive to something or attractive.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, attraction doesn't have to be romantic or even platonic. It could be something that attracts you to, like, a certain book or a movie or any, so like anything that kind of pulls you into it, like, what,
yeah,
are you able to identify something beforehand that you're like, that's the kernel that I'm looking for and I'm going to explore this more?
Yeah, with anime, it's usually drama, like a drama anime. That's like a slice of life, no powers. It's just people feeling their feelings and going to work or some shit. I'll sit there and watch 50 episodes of just that.
All right, I need you to recommend some of those for me, because that's what I'm missing in the animes that have been recommended to me in the past.
Yeah, I'm a great putter on her. I've talked to two girls in my life that were actually into anime, but every girl I've talked to has watched the anime with me in Japanese. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Good for you. I'm persuasive.
I just got Casey to start watching the superhero movies. And like, my next goal is Lord of the Rings. And I'm like, there are some subtitles because it's in Elvish. And she's like, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, thankfully, subtitles aren't a put off thing for Meg. So I'm good to go on subtitles. It's just anything that might be slightly emotional. That's an off. Everything goes off as soon as it gets a little sad. So those things I have to watch by myself. Yay.
Let's watch the sad by yourself. Oh, man.
Oh, but I got you, Dan. Don't worry about it. After this podcast is over, I'll send you a couple of recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I literally watched 416 movies up to this point in the year. So that number is going to keep going because the year's not over yet.
So many movies. I think I've seen 12. Yeah.
Something that's not movies will be what I do for the next couple of months after December's over. So I just need to see what the number can get up to for this year, because I got so high, but like, I'm going to sit tight on movies for a minute after this.
Have you guys ever heard, I forget the name of the game, but it's like an impossible to beat video game that is in the same style of kind of what you're talking about in anime, where it's like, there's no superpowers or anything. It's just a guy existing in his life, but there's a very specific amount of steps that you have to take to beat the game so you don't die. Like, it's this weird video game. It's like, it's called Takeshi's Challenge. That's what it's called.
I've heard of it, but I've never.
Yeah. You have to play the game.
That's what it was.
Yeah. You have to. Takeshi's Challenge is like this. It's, I imagine it's what's like if like a very self-serious Ryan Reynolds made a video game. Like, he was a very important pop culture figure in the 80s. He developed his own video game. There is no rule book. It's like one of the hardest games in the world. There's nothing that says specifically you have to do this. You just have to figure it out over time. And that helps you beat the game. Just every time you die, it goes back to the beginning. And there's no superpowers or supernaturalness to this video game. It is just, you need to exist the correct way to beat the game.
Oh, shit.
So that's
kind of like Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
in a video game.
If you sing the wrong karaoke song at the bar, you die. If you don't take money hidden inside a potted plant in the beginning of the game, you die. You'll need that at the end of the game.
Holy shit. That sounds amazing, actually.
Yeah, but there's no rule book. There's no walkthrough. Like, shit like that's really attractive to me, where it's so much thought goes into it, or at least like it's just a line drive somewhere. Like, it's just, listen, we could give them what they need to do. Let's not. Just like something crazy and something weird. I'm really attracted to the things that like are new and interesting that make it difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, they're pushing against the grain there to create something new and interesting. And in doing so, that's what makes it fun and interesting.
I'm sorry. There's a game series called the Soulsborne series. It's a very hard game. It's a very hard series of games where your character and everything levels up, yes, but the enemy placement around the stages, the way you have to, if you let the people overwhelm you, you'll die.
Yeah.
Also, when you fight the bosses, it is not a hack and slash game. So if you do what you do in every other video game, which is swing, 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 take a hit and heal, and then swing, swing, swing again, these bosses can one-shot you. So you have to know which attacks to attack on, know mm-hmm. which attacks to dodge, and know which attacks give you enough space to heal.
Yeah.
Or else you're dead.
And I imagine that there's nothing like in like the little booklet that comes in the game that goes like, okay, this is what you gotta do. Like, it's, no, you just have to figure that out.
Yeah, you just gotta go back to the days of like going to GameStop and buying the book.
There's a stage in was it Demon Souls, I think it is, where you have to go down like this hollowed out tree, right? And it's very easy because you're going down the tree, and like when you sneak up on enemies, you can backstab them or surprise them from above and kill them instantly, right? So you're just going through this area, drop it down and stuff like, this is fucking easy. Then you get down to the bottom and there's a bonfire. That's how they save in the games, right? So you light the bonfire, and when you light the bonfire, it replenishes all your health and it replenishes your little healing flask, right? But the problem is it also replenishes every enemy in the game. So every enemy that you just fought got brought back to life. And now you have to fight them with them having the higher ground. So now you're fucked going back up the tree.
Wow. Yeah. That's so smart. That's so smart that they put that in the game to like, yeah, sure, get all your hit points. Or my old roommate in Philly used to play this game all the time. So we would just call them beans. I don't know why. Like, I would just be in my room and I would hear beans, motherfucking beans. And he would do that, where he would like run through a thing, get to a bonfire, and then try to get around them to do it again, to like build up enough stamina or whatever it is, to, enough beans to build up enough beans to eventually beat the boss at the end of it. And yeah, the way that they designed that game is purposefully a challenge, and to not be faced with challenges can get so dull sometimes. And I get, it's kind of back to what your thing is like, I love when people are comfortable. I love to get people to be comfortable around me. Is that's a challenge, and that's part of it, is like, let's be, you know, not with each other, but like be present in the moment kind of
thing. Yes. That's what I love. Anime, I told you I like, my favorite is romance and drama. That's my favorite, like, anime genre, right? There's an anime called Medica Box, and it's kind of a shonen battle anime, sort of fighting, but it doesn't start off as fighting. It starts off as like a slice of life, which caught me, right? But there's a villain in the show, right, who looks like the main character of any other anime. Like, he just looks like a 15-year-old Japanese kid. He has the school uniform on, and he just looks like he's nice. But the motherfucker is evil as shit. This one has powers. So, like, the main character, she's the main character. Her, like, it's kind of like a joke. It's kind of like a joke story, how it's written, because, like, she's the typical shonen protagonist. She's very strong for no apparent reason. She's better than everybody for no apparent reason. She then goes into this battle tournament after, like, the slice of life stuff is over. And there's a class of students who aren't in school because they're all just geniuses or whatever, right? So she then has to fight all of them one-on-one in a tournament style. And all of these characters are, could be main characters in their own story. So she has to fight 10 other main characters and overpower their main characterness with her main characterness, right? In fists.
That's awesome.
Right. So after it's over, she beats the final guy who was the main characterist main character, right? Her, with the help of her friends and everything running through this building, she changes the other guy's opinion, and he comes out and he's on the good side, right? Now, this is when this motherfucker, Masogi Kumagawa, pops up, right? Now, he fights with screws, like giant screws, like this big. So they walk out this door.
Where do you even get those?
Exactly. Industrial parks.
They walk out this door, and everyone who Medica just fought and all her friends are screwed into the walls, aligned in this whole, like, walkway. Ouchie. And then this guy looks at her and is like, I know what you're thinking, but I didn't do any of this. Mind you, he still has two screws in his hand. And then he uses his power called All Fiction. It makes anything that he wants that happened not happen. So he murders everybody and then makes it so it didn't happen. So everybody else comes back to life and it's like, yo, what just happened? And immediately I was stuck on that anime.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I could see that. Hey, Dan, I have a quick, like, show question.
Yes.
How possible is it to get, like, an anime picture of us for the Instagram before this episode airs?
Oh, I don't know. Are there any characters you can think of that I can just Photoshop together that could resemble us enough?
No, I wanna pay.
That's our best bet.
You would be Hohenheim from Fullmetal Alchemist, Dan.
Okay.
George, you'd probably have to be somebody from you'd be what's his name?
You're somebody's dad.
Ikaku Madarame from Bleach.
Okay, so here's the thing: one time, a buddy of mine said for Halloween, it was right after I lost my hair, was like, "You should be One Punch Man." I'm not skinny enough to be One Punch Man. I'm just bald. It's like, it's too easy of a thing.
But it works for the Photoshop. I could pull that one easy.
All right,
right, right. Yeah, I'm saying, how did I jump over One Punch Man and go to a deep cut like Ikaku?
Because you're a master of your craft. You know your shit. Like, listen, when we have like guitar players on, every once in a while I'll talk gear just because I know, like, oh, they might know this. And sometimes they don't. And it's a shame because, like, I get to be nerdy with them for a minute. This is your, oh, you put those pickups in that guitar moment. Yeah. This okay. is you Thank being you. Like, yeah, you can put bare knuckle pipe bombs in a Stratocaster. That's not a problem at all. What does that mean?
Yeah,
a select few people know.
I'm similarly out of my depth.
There we go.
I feel like there's sharks underneath me right now.
How are we doing on time? Should we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's take a break.
Hey, everybody. Danny here with Plugs. You can find Malachi on Instagram at Perks and Caicos. Definitely recommend that follow. Malachi is an amazing follow on Instagram. He has a new showcase starting January 7th at Dalek. It'll be every other Friday after that as well. On the Wasted Robot side of things, you can still get Meg Getz's album on all available platforms. And definitely want to mention that it was number one all week. So keep buying, sharing, and reviewing, and let's keep that up there as long as possible. George and I are on Twitter and Instagram at Feel Feelings Pod, and I believe that's it for the plugs this week. Back to the show.
Hey, friends and weirdos, I'm Meg.
And I'm Alyssa, and we're the hosts over at the podcast Real Chills.
Do you love the unexplained?
Do you listen closer for things that go bump in the night?
If so, Real Chills Podcast is for you.
The best part is all our stories are true.
You can check us out on Spotify.
And if you have a story you'd like to share, email us at realchillspodcast@gmail.com.
But we're back then.
We're back then. We did it.
Welcome back to the show. I'm drinking Bolero Snort Peb Light. It's a craft brewery next to my house. But this beer tastes like what happens when you drink the rest of Fruity Pebbles milk as a beer. Gets you drunk.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I reacted like I liked that, and I'm not sure if I do.
Dan, come over. It's only like a 2-hour drive for you. Come through.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I bought extras right before the holidays. Dan, what makes you feel attractive?
All of that, kind of.
Yes.
Actually, it's not attractive is a different one. That's the only one of those that's different.
Okay.
Because what makes me feel attractive is different than what makes me feel attracted. Those are different, right?
Right.
Silky. What makes me feel attractive
is being able to flirt. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Because that's the difference between if you're ugly or not. Because if you could flirt with random people and get away with it, yeah.
I am only good at flirting with mothers. And I have been since I was 16 years old. Everyone's mom has been like, I like George. He's sweet. And I'm like, yeah. I'm not putting that out there. I'm just saying that I'm a sweet boy and that's what makes mothers mm-hmm. like me.
When you can flirt with mothers, successfully, you're projecting the things that they need and not the things that they want.
The best move I've ever seen someone is Sean Nelms flirted with my mom the first time that he met her, and I was like, you fucking asshole, that's such a brilliant move. And all he did was,
you called him dad ever since.
Yeah, pretty much. I call him daddy. No, all he did was, when my mom went to go shake his hand, she shook his hand, and then he grabbed with the other hand and did like a double hand and went, it's so nice to meet you. I was like, Jesus Christ. That's so good. Okay.
He fucked her hand.
Oh my God. Hi, Dad. Anyway, Dan, do you find that attractive?
That story specifically, yeah.
Very attractive, right?
Yeah. Now I'm like, I should meet Sean. But it's hard to think about, because I got to, I always like getting swept away by it. So like examining it feels weird, but like
sure.
thinking about the times that it has happened, it's just like, I'm very attracted to a willingness to put your weird out there.
Yeah.
They're like, everybody has their own type of weird. They're like, I don't care if your weird is the same as my weird. I just want you to be comfortable with me knowing what your weird is.
Right. I don't want your customer service representative. I want the actual you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Similarly, I will say that like that's something similar to mine where it's like I love when people are into shit and they're like happy to share it, mostly because I've been caught up on the wrong side of that conversation at a party where I like start talking about guitar shit or like weird British history or comedy, a place where there's non-comedians. And like in my like seeing the light in someone's eyes when they're like passionate about shit, like Casey, my fiance, I play the fifth sound because I know you haven't been, Dan. I listened to the show for quality control. You missed one last week.
Did I miss one? There was like nine of them.
There was nine. You missed one in the playlist episode.
Yeah. Forgive me. 2 hours of insanity.
No, it was a 4 hour long podcast. That was a nightmare. Anyway, my fiance, role play. She like loves Taylor Swift, and I was never a Taylor Swift fan. But then I see her like sit down with the record and like pour over the record and look at all the songs and how like how the runtimes and like trying to decipher certain hints and stuff that they think that she's hiding in records and stuff. I may not be the biggest fan of that because sometimes I'm just like, come on, can't we just like enjoy a song? But the fact that she is so enamored by it.
I mean, it that feels very like Beatles-esque.
Yeah.
We're like,
oh, she's a stan.
Yeah, like none of this stuff is specifically there. Mm-hmm. But like, if you want a reason to spend more time with this thing, there's enough that you can pretend that like it is with the Beatles, at least. I don't know with Taylor Swift. Any of
I mean, that's the part of the thing that like attracts me to this show and doing the show is that when we do talk about something, they're talking about not always, but like certain emotions and what makes them feel that emotion. And it boils down to sort of being passionate about something. Watching someone be passionate about the things that they love is so attractive. Is like the most I can like.
There's an anime that I don't personally.
We know.
I'm sorry.
No, but this is what I'm talking about. Like,
I've been waiting for anime in my life.
I am not an anime fan. I don't know if I ever will be because I watched one episode of Dragon Ball Z when I was high, and I was like, "Why do they keep fighting each other?" But
oh my god,
the way that you have talked about anime throughout this entire episode is beautiful, and I love it. And I love having people that are like, oh, this is what I am passionate about. This is what I love. I can talk for hours about this. That's beautiful. That's something fun to see.
There's an anime.
We know.
Called One Piece, right?
One Piece?
Oh, it's yes. Not, I do know
it's
that
It's not my cup of tea, right? Okay. It's 1,000 chapters in right now in the manga and the comic, right? And it's about 900 in the actual anime.
Yeah, there's a reason I haven't watched a lot of these is that they just exist forever.
That's shonen battle anime. Only shonen battle anime goes, but it's like it's their action movies. They just produce them. They take a story and make it take forever. But I have to say, One Piece isn't that. One Piece actually has a grand arc and story, and they hint at what's going on, but before it gets there, and it has an insane amount of detail. And in theory, I like it because I hear my friends who love it talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I know way more about the show than I care to know because I don't watch the show.
Yeah.
But I'm currently caught up on the show because every week I'm at work, my coworkers are talking about it. The ones that watch anime will talk about it. And when I'm home, and I'm talking to my nerdy anime friends. They're talking about the latest chapter of One Piece. And I like seeing them talk about something that I don't particularly care for, but I care that they care about it, which makes
like, what a thrill that is to just like be even on the outside of it and just like watching people show love and show. I'd show excitement and passion about stuff, which is why I love to look through my neighbor's windows when they're intimate.
But I mean, that's not really passion anymore at this point.
No, no, no. They've been married for quite some time. What are we talking about?
I want to say on what you were talking about, for me, for years, that was Doctor Who, where I've tried
Doctor Who.
I don't like, it just never worked for me. It's too something, whatever it is. It's too much of it. I don't like it.
You know what got me onto Doctor Who? One episode. It's Blink.
Blink. I went through a huge Doctor Who phase.
That episode's undeniable.
And that's what, just how well the writer was and how the bootstrap paradigm, amazing. That's what made me go back of like, maybe the show is better than I think it is.
Yeah. Like I remember watching the Matt Smith finale, and I hadn't seen a lot. And like I only really knew it by osmosis, but I was watching with people who had seen every Matt Smith episode and were like super fans. And I was explaining stuff to them just because I spent so much time listening to my friends be super into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, and this has been a very nerdy episode, and I love that. But like, the fact that David Tennant wrote to the writers of Doctor Who as a child and went, one day I want to be the doctor. And then he got to be.
Because, you think they kept the letter?
Yeah, he got, like, they have a letter that
show every once in a while. He'll be old enough
soon. Yeah. And then, like, you sit with that for, like, 7 years of the doctor being that guy.
Yeah.
And then you get to Matt Smith, and you're like, he's too handsome. He's too cute. He's too, like, he's, like,
wait,
he's
an Matt actor. Smith?
He's not a fan. Like, for British people, his teeth are straight, so he's 10 out of 10.
Okay.
I just saw him in... what's it called? The Soho, the Edgar Wright movie that just came out. And it was the first time where I didn't like immediately recognize him. And I was like, okay, so he's not just somebody who's supposed to be a pretty boy actor. Like,
yeah,
it was the first time I recognized him as good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like, I think doing like cologne ads or something, or like doing little modeling beforehand.
See, he is attractive.
He's British attractive. All right, he's British attractive.
British attractive is different. Those are different. Ugly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if you can look at a baby. No one beautiful looks at a baby and goes, "I'm gonna name him Rupert." No, it's an ugly baby.
Right.
I'm gonna name my son Rupert. I don't care.
Yeah, sorry to all our Rupert fans.
Yeah, anyone listen to the show named Rupert, first of all, I'm sorry. You were an ugly baby. And two, your parents are really into that ginger kid from Harry Potter. And that's on you. That's on you. That's on your parents. Curse on
maybe
your parents.
Maybe you're into Rupert the white bear from what is that, Maurice Sendak? Did he make Rupert?
Oh, this might be just below me. I don't know what we're talking about here.
How old are you, George?
I'm going to look it up. Rupert's older than all of us, I think.
Yeah, I'm only 29.
Nigga, then Rupert is... I'll be 32 in a week.
You're so old.
Old. I'm the oldest of all of us, and I'm pretty sure Rupert was...
Dan's 45.
Yeah, I'll be 35 in just over a week.
When's your birthday?
That's right. January 1st. Yeah, we don't talk about his birthday on the show.
Hey! Nice.
What zodiac sign is that?
Capricorn. Yeah.
Capricorn. Oh, we'll get a. I'll ask my.
Capricorn.
I'll ask my sister-in-law. She does the star signs and stuff. She'll tell you all about. I need the time you're born.
I do not care.
No. I need the times you were born.
I've never had mine read, but I don't plan to. Yeah.
Right.
Who cares? Let's see. Rupert ran from 91 to 97.
I'm a little older than Rupert.
Yeah, I just picture it being old, but like, I mean, I was four, I guess.
Maybe
so like,
because I said Maurice Sendak, because Little Bear was books before it was a show.
Oh wait, Little Bear?
No, not Little Bear. Yeah, Little Bear is a different thing.
The same guy made both of those.
Okay, I gotta look this up now. Talk amongst yourselves.
Say it's not Maurice Sendak. But now I'm trying to figure out what I'm getting mixed up with. Because I love Maurice Sendak. I mean, his books are insane. And Where the Wild Things Are is one thing. But then there's like In the Night Kitchen and shit. Like, They're all kind of creepy. Did Little Bear. Okay, yeah.
The Rupert Bear books and comic strips started in 1920.
Okay, that's why he's dressed like
That's why he looks like that.
I vaguely remember. Oh, look, there's a picture of him and Paul McCartney. Look at that.
Young old Paul McCartney.
He's one of those people. Now he just looks like my grandma. Honestly, we should pull up a side-by-side photo of Paul McCartney and my grandmother. They're the same.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
No, this is our show.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, of course.
Think about the person that you care for the most right now, right?
Okay.
Me.
Your significant other, as we as we say in these streets.
Yes.
Your love for them, is it more emotion than action or the other way around?
I would say it's not action, because that would be like deeds of service and stuff. And I do very little. I am a slog on this relationship, but there is not a day that goes by that I do not like if she spends the weekend at her parents up in the Poconos or something, it is the worst couple days. Like, it's not even like I get the house to myself. Like that washes away 2 hours later. And I'm like, this house is empty.
Oh man, you institutionalized. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Although she cooked me dinner tonight. So when this is done, I get to eat chicken. I got home from work and she's like, so how do you want the chicken cooked tonight? That's all we
fully
eat anymore.
That's it.
Yeah.
My only requirement is fully cooked.
No
fried
pink.
Hard, please.
Rare.
Yeah, I'm fully the opposite though. I am a deeds of service person. They're like, I see a problem, I fix it. It's just like, there's no hesitation to like get after something to help. But like,
okay.
The emotional side, it's there equally and internally, but like the outward expression is mostly actions.
No, the emotion is always there. You wouldn't do the X for her if you didn't care about her.
Well, yeah, it is the motivator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just asking that because I'm you now, Dan, where I feel more than the acts of service that I feel like I'm doing hold up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't always. I was George until like the last little relationship I was in, and it was amazing and terrible at the same time.
Yeah, what you're describing is codependency. What I have is codependency.
Do you think it was that shift that made it the terrible part?
Yeah, man. Well, it's the shift that made me feel feelings more.
He said the show. We can stop doing the show. The curse is lifted.
I'd say it brought my emotional threshold higher than I'm used to it having, than I'm used to it being. So I have to deal with a more complicated series of emotions. If you allow me to explain.
I think I follow, but if you have examples, that would for sure help.
No. I'm saying the last relationship I was in, not the one that you know about, I was in a relationship after that, shortly.
Okay.
Yeah. And me and this girl were together at the after me and my ex, the ex that you know about,
yes,
broke up. And it was amazing. But after a while, I was like, we can't be together right now. I have to get rid of all the stuff that I was going through with this girl to start dating you, because it'd be unfair for me to take out my past relationship stuff on you. Hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a tough spot.
It's a tough spot, but it's also like, that's what I would call being being gentle with someone's heart. Like, man, showing them honesty, showing them like, this isn't about you, without saying like, it's not you, it's me. Cause that's such a man,
George.
Yeah. You gotta be gentle with people's girl, heart.
This girl, after everything was said and done, right?
Uh-huh.
Had a baby. She, after we stopped talking, 3 months after we stopped talking, she had a baby. I found out about the baby a couple months ago.
Okay.
And she named the baby after me.
Listen, hey.
Same spelling?
Congratulations.
She didn't name the baby my name. She named the baby Marsai on some sneaky, I'm going to take his name and freak it type deal. Huh. Because, get this, when I found out, when she told me that she was having a baby and blah, 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 right? She already had children. And when I was talking to her, when I'm talking to someone who has kids, I don't spend the night over their house because I don't want them to their kids to feel like I'm some new guy just breaking into their territory until they get comfortable with me.
Yeah.
The one time I didn't do it, I end up passing out. This is when I was still drinking. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah, that's a while now. Yeah.
Yeah. The one time I was still drinking, I passed out at her house and her baby father came over. I'm guessing somebody from the block told them that I was over there. We end up fighting. I end up beating his ass.
Well, so that means you get his kids now, right?
Yeah, they actually forbid him from coming over the house.
You're also his father now.
Yes.
But when she told me she was pregnant or she was about to have the baby, and I was like, I'm happy for you. I hope your old dude does not get into a situation with your new dude like he did with me. She told me they got back together and she's having a baby with him. So she named the baby after the dude who beat her baby father up. And I have so many emotions.
Somebody needs to teach that kid to sing because, like, that kid's going to have a lot to express. Like, oh, boy. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the crazy thing is his name also begins with an M. So I know, like, her naming him something with an M was very sneaky because she told me, and the one thing with our relationship was we didn't lie to each other. So the fact that she told me straight up, I was like, oh, okay, so this is real.
Mm-hmm.
So I got somebody kid named after me.
Congratulations. Wow. I'm named after someone. My dad, so it's different, but that is rough. That is some like heavy stuff to unpack. Now, do you, I guess it wouldn't, like, do you see yourself having a little bit more of a future with this person? Or was that just like the end all be all of like, I am conflicted now and I need to retreat for a bit?
At a point in time, I feel like this girl was the love of my life.
Mm.
But circumstances and situations have changed and I realized that I can go on without her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's part of the thing too. Kind of what you're talking about is like, you build up the thing where you're blind to it. You know what I mean? How you were talking about in the beginning of the show where it was like, I love the act of being attracted to someone and falling for them, but then you don't see the things leading up to it that could be the flags that go, mm-hmm. Hey, this might be a little weird. That it's such a tough thing to like call yourself out and be like, are you looking at life through rose colored glasses or
the BoJack Horseman thing?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bob Saget, man.
Right. Such a terrible person. Good thing they made that show about him.
Yeah. Why did they do that? That's like when they made that musical about P.T. Barnum. And I'm like, that man was a monster.
I've never heard of his musical. Yeah,
it's called The Greatest Showman. And it's like,
it was huge.
It was Zac Efron. I work in
schools and it was like, the songs that they played kids that year.
Yeah, it was like Hugh Jackman and Zac Efron and Hugh Jackman plays P.T. Barnum. And it's like, there's a whole song about how, like, he provides us a space where we can be free and be accepted for who we are. And it's like the bearded lady and the Siamese twin and the pinhead. It's all the sideshow folks and circus performers. And it's like, this is, he lets me be who I am. And this is me. It's this really uplifting thing. It was like, no, he bought you and then gave you no money to show you around the country. This man is a monster. Yeah. Why would you make a musical about him?
That sounds like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, everything they're saying is accurate, but also they left out the important details that make it terrible.
Yeah. He bought an old black woman and told her to tell people in his show that she was George Washington's nanny and that she's 230 years old. And he like, and then it was like, yeah, no, you don't get money. I get this money. Thank you for doing this. Like this old senile woman.
Yeah. And just let's think make how a musical many people about it. Gave money to see a 200 and something year old woman who they all thought that was possible.
People are dumb. But you know what?
There was
you know
no
people
back then.
Exactly. You know what? People aren't dumb. The fans of this show. Let's see what they said. Look how good I am at segues today.
I was just gonna go, George. Do you want to do yours, or should we just keep going?
No, I talk about mine.
All right. Well, I'm going to cut out that part anyway. So no,
show me being bullied.
That's me bullying.
Malachi, you want to do a podcast? I'm out. I'm done. Done with this fucking treatment.
That's fine. I'll shift Feel Feelings into an anime show.
I want to see that promo cover. I want to see.
Yeah, you got to get on it, Dan. Put me on it. I'll give you a black anime character that I could be.
Yeah, send me whatever ones you think will work, because the Photoshop will be very quick, because anime has such hard lines. I can cut those shit out real easy.
I can't wait.
Gotcha. All right, so an intense interest in the same thing of which I felt like I was the oddball.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so we've kind of touched on that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the other people's passions.
Yeah, it's the I'm weird. Well, this one, I guess, is the agreeing on the weird of like, I'm weird. People have told me I'm weird all my life. Now I see you are also the same kind of weird. So I'm here because we're both weird. Yeah. So we got pleasant smells.
Okay, sure. Mahogany and teak wood. Intense mahogany and teak wood.
Yeah.
Scented candles.
That's why I bought all the Hollister clothes. And it's just fun because I know that's the smell of Hollister. Every time you say it, I'm making a specific reference because I know that's what Hollister smells like. Hooray for my time at Bath and Body Works.
Yeah, that's what I bought up. did I tell you that time I took that picture and sent it to you? Like, do you have a visceral reaction to this? Was when I had to go into a Bath and Body Works was because Casey was like, here's $200. They're having their candle sale today. We'll just give them to all the aunts and uncles. He sent me into a candle store and was like, pick your favorite. So I only came out with the ones that smell like Hollister because they're the only ones that I would have been told, like, people like this one. If you want a girl to like you, you need to smell like this.
The candle sale before Christmas is the worst day of the year.
Yeah. All the women there seemed like they were trying to have fun. You know what I mean? But they were all miserable.
Yeah. And I just think about it in like current terms of like watching all of these people pick stuff up, put their face right into it and then put it back for somebody else to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was gross back then. And that was like a decade ago. Like,
not great.
Ugh. But pleasant smells are a good one. I still smell things now where I'm like, I remember a person smelling like that and it makes me happy.
Yeah, I have that with my grandma's house where it's like her, like my grandmother has this very cool basement, but it's got moisture in it. So it's fucking musty all the goddamn time. And like, I associate that with going to my grandmother's house and hanging out in the basement, and like musty basement smell is the closest thing tied to like joy and love in my life.
Yeah.
Or like we had this aunt from Ireland who would smoke in the garage because she didn't want to smoke inside the house, obviously. But in smoking in the garage, we would go out and we would like, because we always, me and my sister always thought that the smoke from a cigarette always looked so pretty as it came off of the cigarette. So we would like play in it. This is early 90s. So it's just two children playing in secondhand smoke and being like, it's so pretty. But like cigarettes, I mean,
it's
not, now,
not.
It's not pretty, but it's like right. Cigarettes in my brain anymore. Now are like a great smell because it ties me to that. Like it's not, cigarettes don't tie me to standing outside of a Raven. It ties me to like my Irish aunt who like, we would be like, come children, let's hang out in the garage with Aunt Eleanor.
Yeah. When Meg and I first moved to the apartment that we're in now, the guy who was here before, I guess, smoked cigarettes in the apartment all the time. Mm. And they like scrubbed the walls. They repainted. They did everything. But there was still like the faintest, like dingy cigarette smell. And it always made me feel good. Like it's gone now. It's dissipated in the times because we neither of us smoke. But like it always made me feel good when it smelled like that. And like, I don't know what the association is with like cigarette smoke, because like there's not a specific one in my life I can like pinpoint, but like that smell was a positive one to me, and there's no reason it should be.
Yeah, you should pick up smoking.
Yeah,
you should just start smoking
right now.
Do it.
I'll lose a lot of weight, right? That's what happens.
Yep.
Don't believe me. I believe in you. Don't believe in yourself. Believe in me that believes in you. All right.
Thank you.
That actually feels great.
What was that fucking Yankee that has that quote? It was like, people don't think it be like it is, but it do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Black Science Man. That was like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Cool. Was it? I remember seeing it in the newspaper. Or no, you know what I'm thinking of?
It was a Yankee. You're right. I'm going to look him up.
There's another one where it's like, sometimes I don't believe in myself, but then I believe in dinosaurs. And if I believe in dinosaurs, the dinosaurs believe in me. And then I go off. And it's like, bro, you try not to play the next game? Relax.
All right, so it was Oscar Gamble. Gamble. Okay. He's a Yankee in the best baseball look of all time, the full fro with hat pulled all the way down, so it's just puffing out to the sides. That is the best baseball look ever. But also,
and he said, people don't think it be like it is, but it do.
Yeah. I was upset when I learned that that was about racism.
Oh, that is about racism, huh?
I was oh man. I can't just laugh at these goofy words you said.
God damn it. All right, what else we got?
All right, we have boobs.
Yeah.
Oh, I love boobs. Boobs,
yeah, great. Pretty great, right?
Pretty great. 10 out of 10.
Now, I say I'm a boob man, right? Because I appreciate all shapes and sizes of boobs. I don't notice that when someone says they're an ass man, they like a specific ass.
I don't like a specific boob. Yeah. I don't have like a preference. I just like them.
Yeah,
it's fun, and they're there, and that's nice.
Yeah.
Next,
we have two that said intelligence.
Wrong. It's boobs.
It's boobs, actually.
Right. Boobs are intelligent. Intelligent design.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
Let's see. I mean, it's funny to gloss right over intelligence because that is an important one, because like.
Yeah,
stupid people are difficult.
Honestly, if we can't hold the conversation, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
like there has to be, and I'm not saying it's like a just intelligence. Like I'm really out here Einstein or some shit. It's just like a conversational intelligence. Like you should be able to build off of what I'm saying, and vice versa, and we go somewhere.
Yeah, it should end somewhere and not end with. What do you think? Like right. It should
me asking
end...
you open ended questions to keep you talking. Yeah,
exactly. Although that's just a podcast.
it shouldn't be like, oh, I like this show. Oh, me too. The end.
Great right. story.
Like,
and we both like Friends. How fun is that?
Yeah.
what else? What else we got? Let's do. What do we want to do? Like two more?
We actually had some fun conversation on it. So I'll do a couple of real ones and then I'll run through the breakdown of very fun conversation that happened. So let's see. Their energy match in text or in real life, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I love when, and this is like one of that, like it's not a sexual or that kind of attraction, but it is just like a we can be friends attraction is when someone can pull off like a fun text bit with me. Like if someone can recognize in a text that I'm doing a bit and then they do the bit back and it's a back and forth, I love a back and forth.
Yeah, I literally the other day had to tell somebody like, I'll be mean to you because you can keep up and it's fun and you know that I'm not upset with you. But the second that you're mean to you, I'm going to stop you. So like you cannot agree with me. You have to keep the bit alive because you know we're both having fun. But I don't actually mean this. So like you need to shut it down and stop believing what I'm saying because I feel bad now.
I do that in real life. The way I dote on people is I tell them they not shit. And I mean it lovingly because I was raised in a house where we didn't say I love you a lot. So that's my love language is talking shit.
Yeah.
Now, I'll talk shit to you, but the second that you talk shit about yourself, I feel away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm saying all these things specifically because I don't believe them. Right. And like the type of friendship we have, you know that I don't believe them. So like you need to not believe them either.
Me and Casey every once in a while have this where like I need to remind her that like sometimes I'll say something, she takes it seriously, I apologize. And like it's always the end of like the end of that bit is like, please try to remember that when I say shit like that, it's because it's the farthest from the truth. Like I can't, there's a running gag where like, if she'll do something silly or, you know, gross or just something that like, I'm surprised with, like she pronounced the town in Florida, Ocala instead of Ocala when we were in Florida.
I don't know that I would have guessed one way or the other. Was right or wrong.
I'm aware of it just because I've been to that area before, so I know of it. And I just thought it was so funny when it was after a long drive. And so the reoccurring bit is this like, give me the ring back. Just give it back. And like I try to steal the ring from her every once in a while she's wearing it. It just says a bit, but sometimes she's like, stop it, stop playing. It's not even funny. It's like it is funny because it's the farthest thing from what I want. Like, I wouldn't have given it to you in the first place. This is a bit. We're doing a bit. She struggles with bits.
They're not for everybody.
That's why she's not a comedian.
All right. You want to get into the silly ones?
Let's do silly.
All right. We got gooder. If it sparkles, I'm in.
No, that's hate this person.
That's the least silly of the silly. Somebody just shared ZZ Top Legs, the song.
Okay.
And then followed it up with, yes, if a woman can't appreciate ZZ Top, we never had a chance.
Yeah.
That was ZZ Top's very great. Funny. That was a funny joke.
they play guitar with a coin cut to shape like a pick. That's so cool. Yeah, he plays a Mexican peso as a guitar pick.
One time I saw Billy Gibbons in a bar in LA, and I was meeting a friend of mine from high school, and she was sitting with her back to the door. And I was sitting facing the door, and he walks up to like the receptionist area or whatever, and was there for not even 5 minutes and turned around and left. And I was telling somebody that story, and I was like, I don't think she even knows that happened. And I messaged her, like, it was literally like a month or two ago. And I was like, do you remember when we went out? Did you see Billy Gibbons also? And she was like, what? No. So I had a celebrity sighting with a friend and they have no idea that it happened.
There is a fantastic TikTok going around where it's a girl filming her mom and her going, mom, what are we doing? And she's like, that's Keanu Reeves over there. I want to get a picture with Keanu Reeves. She was like, okay. He's like, do you even know who that is? And she goes, no, I don't know who it is. But all right, just come take the picture. And then it cuts to them awkwardly posing like they're taking a photo, waiting for her to click the thing. And it's her mom and Keanu Reeves. And then it cuts back. She's like, she's going to be so mad when she finds out that's a TikTok about a picture. Oh, yeah. She just like had no clue who Keanu Reeves was. It was just it was a celebrity sighting without the other person knowing the celebrity. It's a shame. All right, awesome. What we got? Well, so we got ZZ Top. Yes. If you're attracted to ZZ Top, you're in.
So the next two, I have to say who wrote them, because actually I didn't realize that neither of these people have been on the show, and that's a definite oversight. But Drew Montana wrote, "Someone who doesn't smoke weed, so they don't ask to smoke my weed."
I saw that. I was wondering what that was about.
Yeah. Great answer.
Good answer. Good answer.
Honestly, that's a very Drew way of saying someone who has their own interests. And like legit, that's an attractive thing. Your interests are yours, man. And mine are mine. But so then good. Rusty followed it up, basically corroborating, saying, seeing someone be passionate about their own thing, like when a chick's really into Drew Montana's weed. Then Drew responded, I was going to say anal, but I wasn't sure if that's the right answer. And Rusty said, it's the most romantic cavity. I should say Rusty Wright. I didn't say his full name.
Rusty Wright. Yeah, there's all very few Rustys.
Yeah. Future guests on the show, because they both should have been on by now.
Solidly funny. That's great. Do we have any more? The last couple silly ones.
I got two more, because I'm going to close it out on the Meg roasting me one. I'll just read the straight through. We only had one friend who took the literal response, and someone said, magnets can cause attraction, but no one knows how they work, which is a fantastic ICP reference that
it is,
you know, doesn't come up often anymore, but when it does, it still makes me happy.
Family.
Oh, man, I know them.
Magnets. How do they work?
What a weird band. All right. Get to the roast. That's how I want to end this.
All right, and Meg ended it, or will end it for us with, I'm really into nerds, like super nerdy, techie, no friends, losers. That really gets me going, especially if they're like totally uncool. I could definitely date someone for at least 3 to maybe 4 years if they have that. Yep. To that, I want to say we've already been dating 4 years, so maybe I should be nervous about the time limit she put on that. But yeah, other than that,
it's ending for you, dude.
Yeah, listen, pretty great.
Here's the thing. And I think everyone that does anything with Raced Robot knows this. We're just trying to get the album. And then once the album is out, we leave.
Burn bridges.
Move on. Stepping stones.
That specific album, number one on Amazon this week.
Hey.
It's the first one we put out that charted in 2 separate weeks.
Nice. Well, so this is
it's a milestone for everybody.
So, and you, you deserve her, because she's the honesty that you need in your life. Fuck up. Yeah. Maybe shave. Yeah. Run or something. Watch
my sport. My only critique of that message is I'm not super techie. I use computers. I don't know how they work. Other than that, freaking nailed it.
Computers are much like magnets.
Yeah. Yeah, God put them here.
Perfect. Well, I think that works very well. Malachi, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate this. This was fun. Yeah.
Come back anytime.
Yeah, this was a great time.
I mean, you are probably replacing me in a few years anyway, so I can't wait for you to take over the show. It's really easy to cross out George and write Malachi. It's very, like, it's so easy to do the switchover.
It fits.
Danny,
that'd be hilarious if I took it over and I've actually just crossed out George. Instead of just making a new thing,
no.
I just crossed out and put my name on top of it.
So graffiti.
Yeah. I don't want it to be a full changeover. I want my ghost to haunt this podcast for years after I leave.
You know, honestly, I want to do an episode that is that, and we'll just put it out there. It'd be like 5 months from now or whatever. We'll just do an episode where George is the guest and Malachi and I host.
We got to make fake inside jokes too.
Yeah, like it's our 100th episode.
Yeah. Beautiful. That's what I want. Good.
I'm so excited.
We'll work
that.
On that.
We said we're doing Silly Hat Day for our 100th episode, so here it is.
we can bring in all our past guests and just have a parade of people.
It has to be like some sort of like weird hairdo day, just something I can't participate in, even in the last minute.
now that we've said all this, though, there the handful of listeners who made it to the after we've said goodbye part of the show, they're going to expect this. So we actually have to do it. So I'm God very excited it. For this.
See you in 5 months.
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Feel Feelings Pod, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/feelfeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
Lord, such a professional show!